Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back. This show is sponsored by Reclaiming the Republic, 1798part2.org, as well as republicreview.org. And you are listening to the only show that will provide you with the process and the solution in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution and literally forcing them into compliance. As I've told people, just think about all the problems that we're experiencing from the effects of the economy, from the effects of your state economy, your state's ability to be able to harvest its resources and do the things that would be best for it. And the federal government is literally strangling every state in the union with all sorts of unconstitutional regulations and so forth. So this process literally gets the federal government into compliance to the Constitution so that the states are unleashed once again to be able to do the good things that were left to the states, all the powers and roles, responsibilities that they were left to enjoy so that they could experience the prosperity that our framers had envisioned for us and for our posterity. There you go. Prosperity and posterity. Two good tongue twisters for me. Anyway, this show is dedicated to the state legislators who are willing to commit to protecting their citizens from federal tyranny. That's very important because they are the ones with the actual authority and power with oversight over the Constitution. Most people think it's the Supreme Court. No, the Supreme Court is supposed to be an unbiased arbiter between disputes that are within the federal government's jurisdiction, those enumerated powers within the federal government or those enumerated powers within the Constitution delegated to the federal government. All other issues remain to the states. The states are the final arbiters over all those types of things, such as, well, what's not in the Constitution? Well, marriage, life, health care, housing, all those types of things, labor, employment. Those things are not within the jurisdiction of the federal government. Therefore, those things should be left to the states and are constitutionally left to the states. That is why this show is dedicated to getting those state legislators educated so that they can stand up against Goliath and do the things that need to be done in getting that compliance. So this show is also in tandem with supporting state legislators. This show is also working with local grassroots leaders, primarily the party, the GOP, so that the state leaders from the state chair down to the county chairs or legislative district chairs or what have you know and understand what they need to do to take back the reins over the party, to control their brand, and to move this republic in the direction it needs to be moved. In other words, basically centering the party on what's best for the, you know, for the state and what is, you know, best for the country and how we are supposed to be centered and complying to the Constitution. It is time that the party stops putting the party over the country. We've been thrown down the waste bin into the gutter too many times by the party and the uniparty system. And so I want you to understand that these folks, because they're committed to protecting all of us from federal tyranny, that means that they are, and we need to focus on getting them educated. Now, you've probably heard me mention that I have this 3C policy, my 3C rule or what have you. Anybody that calls in, you're more than welcome to call in. I only ask that you, and I have this 3C policy. If you know me by name, please do not refer to my name. I go by GR for very specific purposes and reasons. The second C, so the first C is confidential. The second C is be civil. Most people understand that. And the third C is be concise. I've only got an hour a day, so I can't get through everything, and I definitely can't repeat all of this stuff all the time. So that's why I'm just kind of refreshing those who are new to the show, if you've not heard this, and refreshing those who have actually heard this that have been tuning in since January when we started broadcasting. Let me also point out there is a presentation that I provide. It's free to you. It's on YouTube. Just go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, and that's where you'll find my podcast. But you'll also find a video that is a link to YouTube that will give you my 30-minute presentation, which is an irrefutable academic argument on Republic Review, why we have to do this. And I don't get into the hows, because each state and each locale or vicinity is different, vicinage. And so what you may need to do may be a lot different than what another organization or another group may need to do. And it also has to do with the organization as well. Are you the GOP committees, or are you a different grassroots organization, Tea Party, or what have you? So bottom line, I invite you to go watch that, the first 30 minutes of that presentation. I think that link will show you the entire thing, and that was really centric towards the Spokane audience when I gave that presentation a little over a year ago. And so I would just ask that you just watch the first 30 minutes so that you can garner, one, the argument and what we need to do. And then if you want more information on how you can move your county and state into the direction that we need to go, by all means, just reach out to me, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. That would suffice. I will also tell you that I need your help. I call this my moment of groveling every day. I and a lot of other organizations need help. I would love to say, yeah, just throw me money. As a matter of fact, I could literally change the name of this song to Just Throw Money, but it's not about money. It really is about, you know, us working together. And so if you have time, you've got a computer, you are computer literate, you've even got a phone and you know how to use it, just send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. That way you can help contribute to research, help getting your area ready, getting people informed. What I try to do is I try to get people to go through a three-step process of, one, understanding the argument, and then going through the academics of that argument, doing whatever due diligence you need to do. Because if you don't believe that what I am asserting is academically founded on the framing or the founding documents that the framers have provided us, then by all means, do the due diligence. Do not take my word for it. There's too many people, like the mainstream media and anybody that gets in front of the camera and just says, this is what's going on, take my word for it. I don't want that to happen. What I want is I want you to have the epiphany that exactly what I am telling you is the truth. And if you have that epiphany, then your conviction will go through the roof and your commitment to this effort will also go through the roof. And in doing so, that means that I really have a lot more constitutional warriors instead of, what do you want to call them, fair weather friends, that will actually be contributing and working for this effort and or cause, if you want to call it that. So by all means, again, if you want to get involved, just send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I also plug the Constitution Club because they actually have an organizational structure online that you can go join and you can become a part of and start interfacing with people within your state and counties, neighboring counties and so forth, so that you can actually get organized with the 4,000 people or so that are registered with that. That organization really needs to grow and it really needs your help. So please, if you haven't joined, just go join the Constitution Club. It will be worth your time because the things that you'll be contributing and doing with them on like the 17th Amendment and some other issues will be instrumental in actually bringing and helping bring this stuff to a boiling point, as well as hitting the radar for very critical people that absolutely need to get involved. And again, those people that need to get involved are our state legislators. And let me thank you right now, because I don't do it enough. I'm going to try to make a habit of thanking you for tuning in. I do appreciate it. It is by your tuning in and your spreading the word about the show, about the content that actually makes the, you know, it's the first instrumental step, and it's a big one because it is helping proliferate the news and the information. I'm not here to really give you the blow-by-blows. I may give you some commentary, things to think about regarding what's going on in Mordor on the Potomac, but that literally is, literally is the distraction. If we are going to, if we're going to succeed, we have to focus, and that's really what we need to do. So, as I always do, I did scan the news. I looked throughout the different agencies and or providers and or filters and biased providers, I should say. And there is no news. There's no sign of the federal government relinquishing and or disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. So what that means is it's left up to us. You and I are going to have to do this. And so that's where I'm counting on you. I really do need you to step up. I need everybody to start getting this word out. And as a matter of fact, I am actually starting to hear, so this is a good thing. I'm actually starting to hear ripplings back from other people talking on other shows and other mediums that it's not just being me instigating this, that there's enough people that are actually, I will say they've had the epiphany that we've got some constitutional warriors out there that are actually helping this cause, getting the word out. So that's what you're doing, and I appreciate it, and I will be right back after word from our sponsors. So thank you so much, and please stay tuned. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so yesterday's dialogue, we spoke in detail with Keith Broders of the Constitution Club regarding their 17th Amendment, his premise and so forth. And it's... it's multiple people's premises that have actually kind of came down this same path of being able to, you know, it's not a big leap when you really start putting all the pieces together. And so I love the fact that Keith is championing an effort with his group to actually start putting pressure on the seven states to get them to rescind their, or not even rescind, to basically stop abiding by an amendment that is in conflict with the Constitution that protects them from losing their suffrage, and then actually making appeals to other states to say, hey, they've actually opened the door for you to rescind your position on the 17th Amendment. Are you thinking about that? And if not, why not? So, and what that does is it eliminates the ability for contractors, globalists, lobbyists, and all of these other people with money to come in and buy those seats. If you look at the average senator seat, I mean, it goes for millions and millions of dollars, even for what you would consider a locked up seat. California is pretty much a locked up seat. It's going to go to the Democrat. And there are, I think it was something like $60 million in the last Senate race. I'd have no idea what the current Senate race is going for, because I believe Feinstein is up for re-election or what have you. Anyway, we're talking about a lot of money, hundreds of millions of dollars probably this time around. When you look at some of these other small states, you'd think, oh, well, it shouldn't be that much money. There are still millions of dollars going to buying those seats. And all of that money is not coming from inside the state. The people who are paying for that position are people that expect very specific outcomes from the Senate. And so if you aren't happy with what's going on in the Senate today, undoing the 17th Amendment may be the smartest thing we can do at this point, because they are making a mockery of our Constitution, and they have completely lost sight of what their focus should be on, instead of their partisan, I just call it infighting, bickering, and so forth. And so what we need to do is literally get as many people involved, and that's why I'm just going to keep plugging the Constitution Club, because they've got an actionable plan that they want to get out there. Now, one of the things that came up in this conversation as well with Keith was a talk to Senator Lee, Senator Mike Lee's office, because he's spoken out about the 17th Amendment and the need to recall that, or actually repeal that, because a lot of people think you need to repeal it, but most people do not understand that they've kind of opened this back door to undermining it wasn't designed to undermine, but it was designed to allow Delaware to take a noble position of ratifying and letting them change their former position, like we talked yesterday. And so this is a conversation that we would love to have with Mike Lee, to get him to be kind of aware of this, because there's no doubt in my mind, as he starts looking at this, and as a senator from Utah, I believe he would be the first one to say, make me appointed from the state legislator from the state legislature. And in doing so, it would be an honor. If they don't select him, then okay, it's no skin off his back. And that is the kind of attitude that a good senator should have. You are basically representing the state. You are not representing globalists and these banks and these corporations that are buying your seat and position. So it's just one of those things that I think, and I'm hoping and praying, that we can actually get him on the air to literally talk about these issues and these things. So anyway, something else that I want you to think about, I'm not sure how many people know, remember, or have heard of Eric Bolling, but Eric Bolling has been around for quite a while, from Fox Business News. He went on to Fox as the Five and so forth, and he dealt with a real tragedy. In the wake of all of that, there was just a lot of turmoil in his life. Anyway, he no longer works at Fox, left Fox for whatever reason, and I don't really care about that. I do care about the fact that his family went through the anguish and so forth of what they had to suffer in losing their son. But he's now working on CRTV, and his focus is on policies. In other words, those things that are kind of dragging us down, those things that are steering us in the wrong direction, and so forth. And how great would it be if Eric would take some focus? And, you know, I understand that he's got some low-hanging fruit or whatever he's working on. But there is no doubt that it's time to really start exposing just how far the deep state goes into organizations like the IRS. I'm hoping, and I'm trying to get with his producer, Alicia Hess, I believe. Anyway, I'm hoping that they will pick up this opportunity to go talk to Bob Schultz, to talk to the Judicial Watch, Tom Fitton, and so forth, in what the IRS is still doing in targeting good conservative organizations and why they... Project Veritas just came out and exposed these guys for, you know, still targeting and going after conservative organizations. Can you fathom why our government is actually going after and trying to shut down patriots? It's because the patriots are the critics of bad government. You know, I say this a lot, and I'm going to say it again. There's a reason why we, as Christians, need, or whatever your faith is, you should be reading your scriptures on a regular basis. And the reason being is so that you understand what the doctrines are to your faith, so that when things start changing within the practices of your faith, you can go, well, that's a false doctrine. That is the same reason why we need to be familiar, and not just familiar, but reading and having a profound understanding of our framing documents, the Constitution, the ratification debates, so forth and so on, especially the ratification debates. And I'll get into precisely why those are so important. But bottom line is, if you don't know what's in the Constitution, and if you don't know how the Constitution was defined per the ratification debates, then you will not be aware of the fact that we're living under tyranny. You will not be aware of the fact that they are violating the Constitution and they are violating our rights as citizens who have the right and protection of that Constitution, as well as the states who are losing their sovereignty and losing their powers via unconstitutional measures that the federal government is applying. That's why it's so critical. And so I'm really hoping that Eric Bolling will actually be able to pick up some of this stuff to start exposing this. I hope that he gets to this before the election, because I believe that giving people information on the deep state helps ring and resonate just the magnitude and importance in getting and ensuring that we do not continue to vote in communists, or if you want to call them Democrats, fine. But go look at the Democratic platform. What you're going to see are literally the Marxist planks of the Communist Manifesto, literally on steroids. I mean, they're going so far into detail above and beyond the Communist Manifesto that I'm going, okay, that is communism if we're living under the Democratic model, and it is not a Republican form of government. With that, there's another policy issue that is boiling up that I'd like to see Eric I would love to see him pick this up as well, because the Western lands is an issue with the Bundys, with what happened with Lavoie Finicum, with what is going on in the West. If people are going on, what the heck's going on out there? They are absolutely clueless with what these policies of these Western lands are. And so I would love to see him pick this up and become a champion and saying, hey, hold it. Where in the Constitution does the federal government have the authority to possess these lands for these purposes? Where in the Constitution does the federal government have the authority to have the Department of Interior in the first place and the BLM and so forth? They don't. And so I would love to see him actually become a champion for literally shutting down this federal tyranny that is being levied on the Western states. And so those are two policies that I've really tried to throw into their lap, because I think, there's no doubt in my mind, both of these policies are going to create a boiling point or a flashpoint. The Western Lance is creating a flashpoint, and it is a driving factor in these elections coming up. That is why Wyoming is very, very interested in looking at Republic Review, because they actually see this as the opportunity of getting the federal government out of every minutia in their state that they have no role, responsibility, or power in dealing with that. Therefore, I would just love to see Eric become the champion of these things. I do want to give you some need-to-know news that is really worth providing you, and it's good news, actually, but I don't have any time in this segment left because I'm going to be hearing that that formidable music in just a second here. There it is. And so when we come back, I want to tell you about what's going on with Tim Berners-Lee. He is the founder of the World Wide Web or the Internet, and what he's doing to try to combat this tech monopoly that is literally strangling and spying upon us for very nefarious purposes. So we will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And so, Tim Berners-Lee, and again, if you sign up for G. Edward Griffin's Need to Know News, you will get emails on a regular basis, and he will be giving you news that you will not be hearing from the mainstream media. You know, they love these billionaire tech leaders, because all of these guys are in the tank for the globalization of communism. Bezos, Gates, all of them, they are all in the tank for globalizing communism and bringing America into the Borg. Anyway, Tim Berners-Lee is a British engineer. He's also known as the father of the World Wide Web because he was the first person to implement the Hypertext Transfer Protocol, HTTP, on the internet. He basically said he's devastated that his creation has been abused by powerful entities for mass surveillance, fake news, and psychological manipulation. His new startup company called INRUPT, intends to decentralize the web using a new web platform called Solid to recapture privacy from tech monopolies. The platform will allow individuals to have complete control over their personal data, and they will decide whether outsiders will be granted access to it and to what extent. What he is talking about is literally reversing, you know, the genie that's gotten out of the bottle of being able to basically manage and manipulate data coming to you so that they, you know, big corporations, Facebook, and all of these entities can't be bombarding you and spying on you so that you buy the products from those people that they want to make sure you buy it from them, like Amazon. Are you surprised that every time you Google a product, it pops up on Amazon first? There are reasons for that. They are all in cahoots, and they are driving you in a very specific direction. That's why when I use a web Google, or when I use a web Google, a web search engine, I use DuckDuckGo. I don't use Google anymore. I still use the verb Google. You know, you should Google this, but I should actually tell people to make sure you use DuckDuckGo, because DuckDuckGo is not spying on you and they are not reporting what you're searching and so forth and so on. So anyway, with that, I think that's good news that we've actually got somebody that is working and trying to employ something to counter what these globalists are doing. I will also say this, that I have to admit I am elated with the Trump administration and not letting Iran get away with lies and deceit anymore. It just seems like, you know, we've been the stupid idiots. Well, because Obama is a stupid idiot, or actually he's not. He wants everybody to think he's a stupid idiot, but he's been actually doing everything he can to undermine this country, and he has been working with the Iranians in trying to help them so that they can become the real problem that Israel does not want to have. And so I'm basically, you know, I've talked about this yesterday. I talk about this doctrine all the time. It is the doctrine of Takiyah. And Takiyah is the doctrine where whenever possible, they will lie and they will deceive. And so I'm going to bring this up whenever it's applicable. And Iran has been using and deploying that doctrine so that they can get away with furthering their cause in basically trying to eliminate Israel as well as the Western society, i.e. the U.S. Now, one would think, well, why would Obama be supporting that type of a mission and a purpose? But you have to look at it. Obviously, he's repulsed by the concept of liberty. He's repulsed by the concept of our founding principles. And he actually supports the concept of subjugating people. People shouldn't be free to make their own decisions. You need to be controlled for your own good so that the elite can enjoy their rule over us. I'm going to throw another thing out here, and this is really, you know, this goes in tandem with this, but if you've never heard about the Georgia Guidestones, they're basically the American equivalent of Stonehenge. These things were put out in the early 1980s, and I would invite that you go and look at this, because what this is it's kind of like the 15 or 10 commandments that these secular progressives have modeled the direction of where we need to go. And a part of these Georgia Guidestones is that the earth should not be populated with more than 500 million people. Well, shoot, we're coming up on 9-10 billion people. And so that is a significant reduction in life if they get away with reducing the population. That, let me throw this out there, that type of reduction in life is of biblical proportion. And if I would just invite you to go find in maybe Isaiah and or in Revelations where in the last days, how many people are going to die? Well, based on the Georgia Guidestones, maybe not enough, because they want to get it down to 500 million. But I believe the intent in Revelations was that we would lose about two-thirds of the of life on this planet. Anyway, I don't want to just ponder on that, but I want you to go and read the commandments that are written on the Georgia Guidestones. If you're not familiar with these things have been around for a long time, and unfortunately, nobody talks about them because the mainstream media will not want to cover them. So let me get into the reason why. Actually, I got one more thing I just remembered because I was talking about Bezos and Gates. I'm not sure if you heard the news, but a really evil guy has replaced another evil guy for being the most rich evil guy on the earth, and that is Bezos had just topped Gates. So there you go. Bezos is literally at that level of affluence. So let me move forward, because I focus a lot on the ratification process and the ratification of the Constitution. I do not want you to miss the importance of the ratification process, period, because when we were talking, I believe it was yesterday, when Keith and I were talking about the 17th Amendment, one of the things that I mentioned, and there was just not a lot of time because we were really trying to get a lot of content into those segments. One of the things that I probably glossed over is the importance in reading the debates of the amendment to the Constitution in Congress. In other words, when the amendment comes forward for Congress to consider voting on it, they have a very interesting and detailed discussion. What is this going to do? How's this going to affect us? You know, does this, you know, cost us any money? I mean, they go into the nitty-gritty details of this amendment. And so that's why it is important. If you want to understand what they are trying to sell, what they're trying to do, these conversations are critical. And that's why you need to go to the congressional records and or the Congressional Globe is what it was called around the 13th and 14th Amendment timeframe. And I believe it's called the Annals of Congress prior to that, like from the very beginning to maybe the early 1800s, because they've literally got these three separate records. And that's because of how and what they were processing and in tabulating this information. Currently, I believe it's called the Records of Congress or Congressional Record. And so when they talk about the 17th and 16th Amendments, if you go to the Congressional Record and you read the debates that Congress, the senators had over these amendments, you will find it very fascinating that not one peep, not one word was mentioned in the records regarding the Article 5 Amendment Protection Clause. So because they didn't mention that, one has to either presume that they were either ignorant to it or they deliberately were basically setting us up to recognize at this point in time that there is a conflict within the Constitution. Who knows, maybe those good senators who recognize the evil of the 17th Amendment, you know, kept their mouths shut and said that they may have understood and known and didn't say anything because they know that once you have a conflict within a contract, it has to get resolved. And so it will force that issue. So as they let this thing move forward, they knew that it could be backed out after we had already seen the evils and the bad things or the bad fruit that has come from this tree we call the 17th Amendment. So that's why it's really, really important to actually do that due diligence in reading the ratification debates, because that is how you understand how they defined it, how they clarified it, and what they said to sell you on this part of the contract. Now, if they would have said that this was going to do a very certain thing and it never did that, then they probably lied. And those people that were lying, you know, if they're still around, maybe they should be held accountable. Or maybe it can be a lot of times if something in contract law, if you say that this change to the contract is going to do these things and it doesn't, then you have a good course in backing it out, and that would be the process of repealing. However, again, like we were talking yesterday, we don't necessarily need to do that. So when we come back, I'm actually going to give you, read to you, some citations out of the Pennsylvania ratification debate, so just some highlights, and I think you'll enjoy these. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. I'm not sure how many of you have ever worked out a contract, but if you've ever had somebody come by and you said, hey, can you do this work for me? And they say, yeah, and you kind of walk through it, and then you have the contractor send you kind of an estimate or what he wants to call a contract. And all of a sudden, you notice in that contract that he's not listing some of the critical things that you want done. So you have to call him out and say, hey, look, what about this, 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 and this? Oh, well, yeah, it's kind of covered in that. Well, you know as well as I do that you need to be very explicit with that if you want to hold him accountable and you don't want to pay for something that he didn't do. It's big. It's very important. So I think most people understand the importance in contract negotiations and working out a contract. That is why, my friends, these ratification debates are so critical, because these ratification debates are literally the framers as they were highlighting, identifying, and defining each of the clauses within this contract. They were providing the states, the sovereigns, the critical information that they needed to understand whether this was going to be a good contract or a bad contract. Therefore, as they explained it in these ratification debates, they understood and recognized that it was a good contract. Any patriot that is living today and that is looking at what government is doing in contrast to the Constitution has got to be scratching their head going, you got to be kidding me. This has got to be a crummy contract if this concept of limited government is allowing them to do all of these things. My friends, they're violating the contract and they're violating the spirit and the letter of the law per the ratification debates. That's why these ratification debates are that important. And so they are legally binding appendages to the Constitution. So as I get into the Pennsylvania debate highlights for you today, I have to ask that standing question that I love asking. Are the words that I am citing today the words of deceit. In other words, are the words that these good men back in the framers' days that literally were defining this Constitution, are they lying and were they deceiving us? Or are the words that we're being taught and that we're hearing from our politicians and from our education system and so forth, are they the ones that are lying to us, telling us that they can get away with doing anything and everything they want to do? So, in Pennsylvania, one of the prominent speakers of defining the Constitution was Mr. Wilson. And so, in this short paragraph, he talks a little bit about the contracts and its limits. And so he says, a very important difficulty arose from comparing the extent of the country to be governed with the kind of government which it would be proper to establish in it. It has been an opinion countenanced by high authority that the natural property of small states is to be governed as a republic, of middle ones to be subject to a monarchy, and of large empires to be swayed by a despotic prince, and that the consequences is that in order to preserve the principles of the established government, the state must be supported in the extent it has acquired, and that the spirit of the state will alter in proportion as it extends or contracts its limits. And he's basically quoting out of Montesquieu Book 8, and that was Chapter 20. This opinion seems to be supported rather than contradicted by the history of governments in the old world. Here, then, the difficulty appeared in full view. On one hand, the United States contain an immense extent of territory, and, according to the foregoing opinion, a despotic government is best adapted to that extent. On the other hand, it was well known that however the citizens of the United States might with pleasure submit to the legitimate restraints of a Republican Constitution, they would reject the indignation and fetters of despotism. What then was to be done? The idea of a Confederate Republic presented itself. I've been telling you that I've called this thing a hybrid constitutional republic because most people just consider that we're a federation. Clearly, he was just identifying that the idea, and I'm quoting again, the idea of a Confederate Republic presented itself. This kind of constitution has been thought to have all the internal advantages of a republican together with the external forces of a monarchical government. Is that not interesting? And so Mr. Wilson goes on a little later and he basically says, There necessarily exists in every government a power from which there is no appeal and which, for that reason, may be termed supreme, absolute, and uncontrollable. Where does this power reside? To this question, writers on different governments will give different answers. Sir William Blackstone will tell you that in Britain the power is lodged in the British Parliament, that the Parliament may alter the form of government, and that its power is absolute, without control. The idea of a constitution limiting and superintending the operations of legislative authority seems not to have been accurately understood in Britain. Obviously, because they were literally sovereigns without bounds. But in America, they came up with a completely different system. So I continue, or actually Mr. Wilson continues. There are at least no traces of practical conformable to such a principle. The British Constitution is just what the British Parliament pleases. When the Parliament transferred legislative authority to Henry VIII, the act transferring could not, in strict exception of the term, be called unconstitutional. To control the power and conduct of the legislature by an overruling constitution was an improvement in the science and practice of government reserved to the American states. Perhaps some politician who has not considered with sufficient accuracy our political systems would answer that in our governments, the supreme power was vested in the constitutions. This opinion approaches a step nearer to the truth, but does not reach it. The truth is that in our governments, the supreme, absolute, and uncontrollable power remains in the people, as our constitutions are superior to our legislatures, so the people are superior to our constitution. Indeed, the superiority in this last instance is much greater, for the people possess over our constitutions control in act as well as right. In this constitution, all authority is derived by the people. Now, one of the things that's really interesting, because Madison, I believe, stated it best in the Virginia ratification debates, is where he said, who are the parties to this constitution? And then he said, we the people? Asking a rhetorical question. And he said, no, it is the states. It is we the people of the 13 sovereign states. So in putting this into context, you know, as Mr. Wilson kind of just used a little broader brush in identifying that the people were the sovereigns, absolutely, but the people are the sovereigns at the state level, and that the states are the representatives of those people. That's why it requires the states in ratification, the states in ratifying amendments and so forth. And so again, another good tidbit. Let me see if I got enough time. I do have enough time to get through this, and we'll make comment on it tomorrow. The secret is now disclosed, and it is discovered to be a dread that the boasted state sovereignties will, under this system, be disrobed of part of their power. Before I go into the examination of this point, let me ask one important question. Upon what principle is it contended that the sovereign power resides in the state governments? The honorable gentleman has said truly that there can be no subordinate sovereignty. Now, if there cannot, my position is that the sovereignty resides in the people. They have not parted with it. They have not only dispensed such portions of power as were conceived necessary for the public welfare. This Constitution stands upon this broad principle. I know very well, sir, that the people have hitherto been shut out of federal government, but it is not meant to that they should any longer be disposed of their rights. In order to recognize this leading principle, the proposed system sets out with a declaration that its existence depends on the supreme authority of the people alone. We have heard much about a consolidated government. I wish the honorable gentleman would condescend to give us a definition of what he meant by it. I think this the more necessary because I apprehend that the term in the numerous times it has been used has not always been in the same sense. It may be said, and I believe it has been said, that a consolidated government is such as will absorb and destroy the governments of the several states. If it is taken in this view, the plan before us is not consolidated. As I showed on former day, and may, if necessary, show further on some future occasion. On the other hand, it is meant to be that the general government will take from the states their power in some particulars, and in confessed and evident it would be in the operation and effect. And I'm done. I am G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic, and we'll comment more on this tomorrow. God bless, and I'll see you tomorrow. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty.